This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And let the madness begin. We made it. The great days on the sports calendar. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Greg behind the glass. John, we made it.
We did. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Excited about that. I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah. Although, I don't know about tomorrow.
Is tomorrow the best one to take off?
Might be coming down with something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Michigan plays late tonight, and I know everybody's going to be struggling tomorrow morning.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm not feeling well.
Not feeling well, we'll know by, 10:25?
Sure.
Or you at least let us know early?
Oh, of course.
So we could find somebody to upgrade with?
Oh, he slid that in there. Heather, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good.
Make sure you call Tom, too, by the way, on vacation to
Spot
a fill-in for him. Oh, love that. He would really, really like
call
that.
Call him, and if he doesn't answer first...
Call again.
It's more of a warning shot. Just keep calling till he answers.
Right. You know, some people, if you text and then it says, is this urgent, can you, like, send it through? Yes, send it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have notification silence. Would you like to notify?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course.
Why I sent the text.
This is urgent.
I know. It's like when I do that to the kids, right? I know they're in school and they don't have their phones with them, but I still go ahead and say, you know, would you like to notify them? Of course. It's why I sent the text message.
So anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun with college hoops today. Glass Slipper Index at 6:35. What does that mean? It means Cinderella picks, and we'll assign all the trendy Cinderellas an amount of glass slippers, 1 to 5. 5 being, oh, this is the Cinderella to watch with the tournament kicking off later today. The Pistons kind of kicked off things last night, though. Kate Cunningham gave us a little bit of madness. Buzzer beater for the Pistons. Bank shot win.
Yep, right over. Bam, out of bio. I mean, if they knew where the ball was going. They wanted to get the ball to Cade. They knew Cade was going to take the shot. They put their biggest and best defender on him, the guy with the longest reach, and he said, I don't care. I'm going to get to the top of the key. I'm going to pop a shot. I'm going to call glass and bank it home for the win.
He had to fight through a lot to even get himself open before they inbound the ball there. And then he had to shoot it over their longest defender. It's a hell of a play. It's a hell of a call by Mark Champion. And Cade, after the game, someone asked him, hey, did you call bank? That's great.
I don't care how it goes in. The fact that you got your star who knows... He's the one that's supposed to take that shot.
Yep.
I don't care. There's 4 other guys on the court. I don't care. I'm going to have to do whatever I have to do to first get the ball from the inbounds, get to where I want to take that shot, and release it. He did everything you need your star to do, and he won the game.
I can't wait for him to get the bigger stage in the playoffs. Like, we're excited for the Pistons. But his star continues to grow. He's leading all of these highlight shows from last night. He's getting national love from all the major outlets. And it's only going to grow when he's doing it in the playoffs.
And we've seen over the course of his short career so far, you know, different moments where, okay, he's had a game-winning shot. And it's at some point, you do enough for things to start going your way. And they are starting to go Cade's way. He is giving himself every chance, every opportunity for success. And, you know, in a previous year, I don't pick any year, maybe he doesn't find a way to get open.
Right.
Maybe he does. Maybe he can't find a way to get the shot off, or it's not a shot. Like, this is a legitimate shot, right? With a chance to go in. It's not a fadeaway for three. It's not, you know, I'm trying to buy a foul. He is just, I want to get my shot. I want to take my shot, and I'm going to make it. I don't care if it banks in, if it goes, whatever. It's just refuse to lose.
Greg, can we hear it one more time? We're going to play it a bunch this morning. There you go. Vintage Mark Champion with a holy mackerel in there at the end. Uh-huh. It's awesome. It was a cool moment last night, and we're officially into the madness. The other piece of audio, and you sent this to me, comes courtesy of Alex Bregman.
Oh. Come on, man.
This is Salt Meat Wound. Yeah. You sent this to me. This is Alex Bregman on Foul Territory, and this is him before the Tigers and Red Sox played yesterday in spring training, and he was asked about, you know, the whole saga of the offseason.
I'm calling BS. Maybe he didn't make his decision until then. It's not his first contract. It's not his first rodeo. And the only reason, if you thought you were going to Detroit the whole time, you would have signed your contract with Detroit a long time ago. You're holding out, hoping for whether it's more money, more years, opt-outs, all of those different things, with the thought that you still would go somewhere else. And I just don't believe that at the very last second, maybe Boston upped their offer, they changed something, they tweaked something that caused him to flip the switch, but they didn't just call 30 minutes with the deadline 30 minutes away.
If your heart was set on Detroit,
you would have done it earlier.
Yeah, it wasn't set on Detroit. You were very much scanning the landscape, right? You weren't committed to anybody.
This is just a, you know, kick you in the crotch moment.
You know, the reason why I think he may have felt he was going to end up in Detroit is because I think Detroit gave him the most consistent
love
offer.
All
the time. They were always looped in. You had the, don't count out the Tigers. Tigers ended up offering him the most years and the most total money guaranteed. So, yeah, the team's showing you the most love. You probably thought you were going to end up there, but the reason you didn't is because you kept looking for somebody else. You know, it's like if you were on these dating apps and you match with someone, you're talking to someone, but you're not moving forward with that person because you're hoping you're going to keep swiping and someone else is going to blow you away. And in this case, Boston gave him the offer he preferred, but it was not the most money. It was not the most security. You can't say, oh, I was going to be in Detroit. You didn't want to be in Detroit.
And the article I read, it talked about the opt-outs and the fact that he could opt out after this year and then, oh, well, Detroit will have another bite at the apple next year. You know what?
You ready to do this again?
Middle finger to you, pal. No, well, thank you.
Well, John, if he hits well, then we don't have a third baseman.
Okay, you're going to pursue him. Yeah, it's just, okay, yes, the business side of things, I get it. But it's going to leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth for a long time here in Detroit.
Well, especially if Zach McKinstry's playing 100 games at third base. I mean, that is the salt meat wound. And I know a lot of people here in Detroit say, F him, we didn't want him anyway. No, we very much would have liked him to play third base on opening day. This is salt in the wound. He also went on to say, it's a great relationship with Hinch. He's an amazing manager. We talk all the time. We were talking all off season. Boy, how do you think AJ feels? I know publicly we're not one player away. We want guys who want to be here.
Well, he privately also has a relationship with Boston's manager as well, Cora.
Cora, yeah. But do you think AJ, privately, when they didn't land him, it's like,
what are you doing, dude?
You.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, and it's, if he has that great a relationship, and maybe it was, maybe this happened. We don't know. We're only getting bits and pieces. We're getting the Bregman version of it right now.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, he did call AJ, he did call Scott Harris within that, you know, quote unquote, 30 minutes and said, here's the offer from Boston. Can you match it? And Scott Harris just said, you know what? It's no, we can't.
We're not jumping through more hoops.
We're not jumping through more hoops. Our offer is what it is. We have been here. The Astros, who was your team, decided that they were going to sign somebody else to play third base. And they were out of the market. Then they got back in the market. Boston was in the market, out of the market, back in the market. Detroit has been here the entire time with a great offer.
I do think Scott Harris, his quotes and comments when they didn't land Bregman.
Oh, he was mad.
Yeah, it's one of those, the tone not necessarily, but the words he used. He said, we want players who want to be here. I say it a lot because I mean it. We want players who choose to be Tigers. We made a compelling offer to Bregman, but he chose to sign somewhere else. That's fine. We knew it was a possibility. And he went on to say, it can be done. We made the playoffs and beat a team with Alex Bregman last season.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. There you go. Salt in the wound. 248-539-9797. You got thoughts on Cade's buzzer beater? Great audio. Not great audio with Bregman putting salt in our wound. We'll get to some of your thoughts, and we'll get to the Glass Slipper Index. March Madness is here. That's 635. It's 97.1.
The month of March at Planet Fitness is the Black Card Membership Month. Right now, for a dollar down, you can get yourself a Black Card membership and experience the ability to go to any facility that they have, any franchise that they have. You could take somebody because you have unlimited guest privileges. You're going to see that they are a welcoming, kind, fun and happy environment to go work out in. It's a judgment-free zone. We've told you about that for a number of years, but it's also clean. When you go to a gym, you want it to be clean. They keep the machines clean, the floors clean, the locker rooms clean. It's a great environment. You want to find out more about that Black Card membership and what it gets you? It's the Black Card Spa. I already mentioned the unlimited guest privileges, the ability to go to any location. You could find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That's Planet Fitness.
It's Alex Bregman. Salt in the wound. Yeah, you thought you were going to Detroit the whole time because Detroit was making you compelling offers. But he was waiting for something else. John, a couple quick ticket texters. Texter says, is his goal in life to be the most hated man in Detroit? If so, he's doing a great job. Loser, John in Lake Orion. And another says, I'm officially out on Bregman. I don't want him if things go sour with Boston. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people with that feeling right now, especially with the situation the Tigers are in right now, and Jace Young already optioned to AAA. The prospect of Javi Baez going to third, and we thought, okay, with Vierling, not a great option, but felt a little bit better about him being there. His bat's all right. Yeah. But then, honestly, between the two, Vierling and Baez, I feel more comfortable defensively with Javi making that transition from short to third. It's a normal transition for a shortstop that doesn't have the range anymore to go to third base. It's not a stretch. Mm-hmm. And so to have him there defensively, I'm okay with that. But now that we are looking at the prospects of platooning at third baseman, and then we hear Alex Bregman, who we thought the Tigers were, they're going to spend some money.
And they were ready to.
They were ready to. We heard the reports of the contract. And then in the final moments of the free agency that Bregman was putting everyone through, he picks the ugly girl and goes to Boston instead of the pretty one here in Detroit.
The texter who said I wouldn't want him if things go sour, if he opts out and he's available and he has a good season and the Tigers don't have a third baseman,
we'll be back in the market.
And AJ Hinch knows him and he knows AJ and their buddies. Yeah, I'm not happy with how things went this offseason, but I'm not going to let that get in the way of trying to improve this baseball team next year if it makes sense.
But then it goes to term and how much, because he's going to be another year older.
Yeah.
He's going to be another year down the road. And we were discussing 5, 6, and there were some 7-year talk. Now it's going to take a year off of that. It's going to be
right.
4, 5.
And a prime year off of it, so it may
right.
be more money off of it. Look, it's a fiasco. It's largely over, but this was just salt in the wound yesterday when he said it, the audio courtesy of foul territory. JT and Warren says, John, I'm with you. Bregman's a liar. Don't believe for a second he was preparing to be a Detroit Tiger. And JT also goes on to say, please let the Pistons get Indiana in the first round of the playoffs.
I would love for that.
And Mark says, don't let the Pistons get hot.
Yeah. I mean, so the highlights from last night, one of them, not just the Cade shot buzzer beater, that's the highlight. Like,
yeah.
That's the one that everybody's going to see and know and hear. But Ron Holland, little shoving match with former Wolverine Duncan Robinson, And it was, I don't know why Ron Holland was teed up on that one. They gave the double tees, one to Duncan and one to Ron Holland. But
these Pistons mix it up, man. They're not afraid.
And if you listen to the audio, too, it's like, hey, you know, they know. Everyone across the NBA knows. Don't test the Pistons. Don't push, because you're going to get pushed back. You might get slapped back. You might get hit back.
And it's not just Isaiah Stewart. That's been his reputation for a couple of years. You're right. It's Ron Holland, it's Sir Thompson. These guys will get in your kitchen. I mean, they aren't going to back down. And I can't wait for the Pistons to get in the playoffs and to get on that stage and to see Cade Cunningham and this group go toe-to-toe with Indy, the Knicks. I don't think they match up well with Milwaukee, but give me a chance to see how they stack up.
Yeah.
Bring on the playoffs, man. We're at that point now. I mean, they're in. It's just a matter of who they're going to play.
I agree. And I would love the fact that they had home court. Like, and I don't know if that happens. They're still in that sixth spot, but they're very secure in the sixth spot. I don't think that there's anything that happens between now and then out of the realm of possibility or probability that puts them, you know, all the way down to the play-in.
Yeah. I mean, they have a 6.5 game cushion on Atlanta from the 6th to the 7th seed, and we are counting down the days until it's clinched, but they're playing well. All right, before we get to the glass slipper index, some Cinderellas. Heather with the news.
Well, 2 months after this batch of unreleased Eminem songs mysteriously surfaced online, a former employee of Eminem has been charged by the FBI with leaking the music. Yeah, some serious charges. 46-year-old Joseph Strange of Holly could face up to 10 years in prison after being charged on Wednesday with criminal copyright infringement and interstate transportation of stolen goods. So the agency says that this guy was paid about $50,000 in Bitcoin by a Canadian man who raised the money from a group of other Eminem fans in exchange for all these unreleased song tracks. A rep for Eminem described this unauthorized music leak as significant damage caused by a trusted employee. I mean, he had worked there for quite a while. This was at a recording studio in Ferndale. He had worked there from 2007 until 2021. He was one of just a handful of employees that had the password to these password protected hard drives. You know, the FBI searched his home. They found all these hard drives. They found like handwritten lyrics saved in one of this guy's safes. Like, oh, pretty crazy.
Yeah. Dirtbag. I mean,
you know, it's going to happen. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, there's always a paper trail, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Not paper trail, but like, you are going to be caught.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody
and
will
what's
find
the consequence?
Out.
Is this worth?
It's not.
$50,000 in Bitcoin.
No.
Worth 10 years in prison.
No.
I don't think so. Somebody bought one of the smaller Rensen towers for $9.2 million. So there was an online auction for this tower. It ended on Wednesday. At this point, we don't know the identity of the winner. We don't know what the plan for the tower is, but somebody walked away with it. So the auction started on Monday with a starting bid of $2.75 million. Like I said, ended Wednesday at 9.2. It's Tower 600. There's like two towers that
two
are like the twin
ones.
Towers.
Yeah.
Well, not.
I know what you mean.
They're the same size and they're different than the others and they're owned by somebody different. They're not part of GM that
stuff,
owns the other one. So we shall see. It has 334,000 square feet of usable space. And right now it's 11% occupied. There's like three things in it. So
a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Jared Goff going to be getting a lot more screen time this year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of three quarterbacks featured on season 2 of Netflix series Quarterback. Joe Burrow. Kirk Cousins will also be on the
again.
Show. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. Obviously, it's going to be kind of documenting all three of their lives as they navigate.
I think some of the it's all going to be interesting to see the behind the scenes. But I think we'll get a little bit of a look at the relationship that he had with Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And we could start to gauge how important that was. And you know, looking forward, what does that mean? I think there's just, and it also, you know, for Ben Johnson being the head coach now,
That'd be kind of cool. And again, the painful ending, we all know how it's going to end. It's going to end with that ugly playoff game. But seeing the perfect game that he had, seeing the game where he caught a touchdown, like there's going to be some fun moments to go back and kind of chronicle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert, Jim. Come on.
This is cool. The Detroit Zoo has a new resident in its Arctic Ring of Life.
Oh.
A new polar bear. The zoo welcomed a 22-year-old polar bear from the Memphis Zoo, Haley, named after Haley's Comet.
Oh.
It's going to join two other polar bears. So go check.
How big is Haley?
Go check her out. She's big.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how big, but she's pretty big. I would imagine polar bears are quite large.
Polar bears are, they're really cool to look at and they seem cute, but they are mean as
you know
all get out.
What you got to do if you go to the zoo, make sure you find like inside scoop and know when feeding time is.
Oh,
because that's, I mean, when you really want to see them swim over that ring that you can stand under, that's the best
tear
time
into
to do
a
it.
Carcass.
Well, cause it's just, well, not that part, but like, it's just cool to actually, cause sometimes you can go there and sit there.
Hey, look at the cute goat.
And you know, oh no, they're not feeding them goats, John.
Like Jurassic Park.
Gosh.
Where's the goat?
Where's the goat?
By the way, I heard Detroit sent back two cockatoos and an orangutan to Memphis in the deal.
Oh, I thought it was future considerations. Could have been that too. Yeah, maybe.
Cash.
Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler for a minute. So he won his second green jacket in 2024, which means he once again gets the opportunity to create the menu for the Masters Champions Dinner.
Scottie Scheffler may ultimately make me a somewhat of a golf fan.
Because of what he chose for his meal?
Yeah, who he is and how he operates.
So it sounds like he chose some of his childhood favorites, including his father's meatballs, I guess.
the family meatball recipe.
And this ravioli dish that he enjoyed growing up. Anyway, so the appetizer menu includes cheeseburger sliders served Scottie style, which I don't know what Scottie style is, but
however he fixes them, I'll take a handful of those.
Firecracker shrimp, and then the ravioli bites, and then the first course is Texas style chili.
Okay,
awesome.
And then the main course is cowboy ribeyes, blackened redfish, and then warm chocolate chip cookies for dessert.
Sign me up for all of it. I'll let somebody else eat some of the blackened redfish. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I'll take the cowboy ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, Cinderella. Who will it be? It's 97.1. It all gets started today, the madness. 32 teams in action. We're always on a lookout for Cinderella. Who is that team? What is Cinderella? To me, John, it's a team that's a double-digit seed from a small conference. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they're playing in a gymnasium with fold-up seats, but it's one of these little guys who dethrones one of these big dogs, and we want to go through the Glass Slipper Index.
All right, Jim, we've got 10 teams. Like you said, double-digit seeds, one bid leagues, underdogs in round one. We want to get a rating from 1 to 5 glass slippers on how dangerous these teams are to advance in the tournament. Let's start with 15 seed, the Bryant Bulldogs, plus 17.5 points against Michigan State.
I'm going to give this one a one glass slipper. Simply because Michigan's Tom Izzo has talked about this. He's not shied away ever from the 15-2 loss that they took 9 years ago. And I believe it was 9 years ago yesterday.
Oof.
And it's an experience that it's not joyous one for him, but it's a lesson learned. He's going to have his players ready. So I don't think that there's... It might be exciting and fun early. This is one Michigan State walks away with later. And we talked about it. It's the defense of Michigan State.
The offense of Michigan State, though, might let someone linger. I gave it two glass slippers.
Oh.
Bryant's a big
hater.
Team. Yeah. Big team. They like to run. They can corral the Spartans in transition. And if MSU has a cold shooting night, might be some cold sweats.
Bryant is 7th in tempo in KenPom, 149th in defense. You start running up and down against Michigan State's defense, and get some drive possessions after one after another, you're hemorrhaging points on the other end. I do not like Brian's chances.
Yep.
14th seed Troy Trojans plus 11.5 points against the Kentucky Wildcats.
I gave it three glass slippers. Connor Way's the lead guard for Troy, and he is one of these guys who will press you. This team will grab offensive rebounds. They'll do the little things to rattle an opponent, and we've seen Kentucky get rattled in opening games. How about a year ago? Three glass slippers.
So I go to lessons learned, much like I did with Michigan State and Bryant. Kentucky does not want a repeat of what happened last year against Oakland. This as well, and I'm not a huge fan of the whole Cinderella. I love the moments. I love what it does. I'll give this one. I'm gonna start giving out some glass slippers here. This is as well a one glass slipper.
Oh, okay.
14 seed Lipscomb Bison, 14.5 point underdogs against Iowa State.
All right, here's where the slippers start coming out, and I'm gonna give this one out of five. Three glass slippers, because Lipscomb, what do? Well, shoot the three. They can shoot it as good as anybody. They make at least 10 per game. They love to jack up the three. And if they get hot, which I would anticipate they would start this one hot. What did we see last year for Oakland? What got them there? It's the three-point shot. I think this is an opportunity for them to take down an Iowa State team that was red hot as of, I don't know, maybe a month ago. Injuries plagued them. Get a guy back. Another injury plagues them. I think they're ripe for the picking.
How many slippers?
Three.
I'm going four.
Ooh.
But it's the same thing. Iowa State 7-7 their last 14 games. Two good players are hurt. And Lipscomb's not going to turn the ball over to feed the beast that is Iowa State's defense. Four.
13th seed, the Akron Ziffs out of the MAC.
Oh, I love me some action.
14.5 point underdogs against Arizona.
Okay, Akron's 21-1 since December 30th. That's interesting. And Arizona has been bounced in opening games three times in the last 10 years. This team with Caleb Love is streaky. I gave it three slippers.
I'm going to back off on this one and go two slippers. They have been streaky, but I just don't see Akron. Yes, it's been fun. 21-1 since December. You mentioned it. I think it's 21-2 as of this weekend.
I can't explain it. I love John Gross. Maybe it's his time at Illinois, and I got to see those post-game press conferences at Chrysler Arena. John Gross just seems like a cool guy. I love the guy. 13th-seeded, the High Point Panthers, 7.5 point underdogs against Purdue, last year's national runner-up.
Yeah, and Purdue has faded late in the season. As much as I want Lucy to have the experience of a run in the postseason in the NCAA tournament, I'm going to give this one four glass slippers. I think High Point has the ability to run with Purdue, and they can defend. And if you can defend their guard, it completely changes what Purdue does and how they find ways to win.
Five.
Oh, is this a cost a lock?
Let's get
don't do it. Don't do it, because it's going to ruin my four.
High Point Panthers will topple Purdue and that fraud Matt Painter, who has been bounced in the opening game twice in the last 4 years. This is a top 25
offense.
You're
calling Matt Painter a fraud. Come on, man.
This is High Point's time, baby. Five glass slippers.
Just remember, hot, cold, college basketball changes quickly.
Yes,
we saw
it does.
That with Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
13th seed, Yale Bulldogs. More Bulldogs! Plus 7.5 against Texas A&M, the Aggies. Are they going to gig them?
So they've done this. Like Yale last year made some noise. They've got some size to limit Texas A&M on the glass. Polakidis, that was the hero from last year. He's
28
still there.
Points, yep.
Mm-hmm. He scores 20 a night this season. I gave him three slippers.
I'm going to give him four. They play a brand of basketball. They could slow it down. And a lot of these upsets are going to be about slowing the game down, playing at a tempo that is going to be advantageous to the Cinderella story. Because if you're talking about the SEC basketball, or you're talking about, you know, not even Big Ten basketball as much, but to be able to get out and run and to continue to throw players on the court, they got to slow it down. I'm going to give Yale four glass slippers on this one, because they've done it. They're in Auburn's region for a reason. I don't think they make it that far, but I think they might make it out of round one.
And they might play Danny Wolf in Michigan in round two. Mm-hmm. 13 seed, the Grand Canyon Antelopes. No online learning here. They'll have to go in person. 10.5-point underdogs against the Crab 5 of Maryland.
And I talked about this one yesterday. I think Grand Canyon, they're bigger than some of these other teams. They can, I mean, when you could shoot over top, and it's all going to come down to shooting. It's what college basketball is, what basketball is. High school, college, pros. They could shoot. They're going to be in any game. I'm going to give them four glass slippers on this one.
I went with two, and only two because they did it last year. I don't like this matchup. Maryland has no issues running. I think the Lopes get run out of the gym.
12 seed, the McNeese Cowboys. No more state. They dropped the state, just like Memphis in the early 90s. They're 7.5-point underdogs against Clemson.
Okay, they got a guy with a boombox that walks him out. That's worth an extra slipper wherever have him. That's pretty cool. Take it away, though, because Will Wade is leaving for NC State. Do they lose an edge with their coach already 1 foot out the door? I went with three glass slippers here. They did lose to Alabama by only 8 points in Tuscaloosa. They played Mississippi State tight within 3 points. They'll force turnovers. They'll shoot threes. They're frisky. I gave them three.
Cinderella should have gone to the ball with a boombox over her shoulder.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Like an entrance.
But I think it becomes a Walkman. And I'm going to give it one glass slipper. I think Clemson runs them out of the gym.
12th seed, UC San Diego, the Tritons. 2.5-point underdogs against our Michigan Wolverines. I say our for me and John.
If Michigan doesn't fix the turnovers, which I don't expect them to do, it's been a trait every game all season long. And Michigan is going to be down a couple of guys. Now, they've been without Sam Walters for about a month and a half. I think it's a back issue. And Justin Pippen, not going to be with him because he got hurt in practice, concussion protocol. I think Michigan ends up winning this one, but I'm going to give them three glass slippers on this one.
I got four, but it scares me how trendy this is. Everybody loves UC San Diego. Hottest team in America, 15 straight wins. They've got this guard, 6'6", from New Zealand, Aniwaniwa, Tate Jones.
Oh, well done.
I feel like that's the name of a guy you'll remember. Aniwaniwa, yep. Tate Jones.
I will.
They force turnovers, which is the thing everybody's highlighted, which could get Michigan burned. I know the size is there, but even with the size, Michigan hasn't played tall in big moments.
And they don't turn it over themselves. Really quickly, the numbers on that. UC San Diego, offensive turnover rate, 7th. Defensive turnover rate, 2nd, so they don't give the ball up. Michigan, their offensive turnover rate is 328 out of 364. Defensive turnover rate, 266. They don't turn the ball over from their opponent very often either. Finally, the 11-seeded, the Drake Bulldogs out of the Missouri Valley Conference. 6.5-point underdogs against the Missouri Tigers.
And this is where I'm going to highlight tempo. They need to slow this game down. And hey, they've got some shooters. If you watch the win that they had against Vandy, they slowed it down. They played. They're going to use the shot clock. This could be if it's a low scoring affair, I'm going to give this one four glass slippers.
Love and respect for defense and rebounding. So I gave him a two because that has to count for something, but I don't think they're winning this game.
Tempo DFL from Drake, 364 out of 364. Missouri is 71st in adjusted defense. I think that might be a recipe for Drake to pull off the upset. And that's the GSI, the Glass Slipper Index.
It's 97.1. If you're injured in a car accident, you deserve someone who cares about you. It's KG Law. The phone number, 877-KG-CARES. Check them out online, 877-KG-CARES.com. You'll see results. You'll see testimonials. Lawrence KG started practicing law in Michigan, and he's done things differently by always putting his clients ahead of personal profit. Why? Because he cares about you. Great satisfaction has always come from helping clients get their life back while, of course, attaining the best settlement possible. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. That's K-A-J-Y, KGCares.com, KGCares.com. Yeah, what a boring basketball team. Maybe people start paying attention. Cade Cunningham at the buzzer, whispering bank. triple-double, by the way, and didn't shoot a single free throw, but led the Pistons to a win. Feeling good.
Yeah.
A little buzzer-beater action right in time for tourney time.
Yeah. Little excitement. Start off the March Madness, the official March Madness today with a buzzer-beater last night, but also create a little bit more excitement surrounding Cade, the Pistons, as they approach now only 12 games before they are postseason playing.
I can't wait for them to get on that stage because I don't think they're going to be intimidated by it.
Oh, no. This is not a team that's going to be intimidated. They're young, and maybe that is part of why they're not going to be intimidated. They don't know what they don't know, and they haven't experienced it, but they're not going to go. If they've got to go to Milwaukee, if they've got to go to Indy, if they've got to play in New York, so what?
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. That's the mentality with this team. Okay. We haven't talked about the Lions' proposals, John.
Some rule changes.
Teams at this point in the offseason can propose rule changes, and the Lions floated a couple different ideas. I want to know where you stand, and we'll throw it out to people as well, let them participate in this, but are you for or against what the Lions want to tweak?
Well, so the first proposal, the biggest one, is how they seed in the playoffs. And we know last year that the Lions got the number one seed. That would remain the same going forward. The division winner with the best schedule, the best record, would still get the number one overall seed. And then after that, they would be seeded by record. So you don't have a Tampa team or one of these, 9-8, conference champions that gets, home field or anything like that. So it would simply go. So the way it would have gone last year is, three teams out of the NFC North. We all know that the Lions won the division with a 15-2 record. Minnesota 14-3, Green Bay 11-6. Lions had the number one seed, but the Vikings were at 5, the Packers at 7. If you reseed this way, the Vikings would have been the 3 seed, and the Packers would have been a 5 seed. So both would have been bumped up 2 positions.
I'm for it. I think St. Brown talked about it at the end of last season. I'm for it. It makes all the sense in the world to me. Winning your division should guarantee you a playoff spot.
Right.
It should not guarantee you seeding. I would love to see this rule change.
It seems very common sense.
Because we've had teams, the extreme, I think we've had a team, didn't Seattle 1 year make it with a losing record? They won their division, but maybe went like 7-8-1 or something.
Yeah.
And the idea is, fine, you're in, but you shouldn't get a home playoff game because of that.
Agree. And it's if you come from a tough division like the Lions do, and you will see a lot of these rules in the moment seem a little self-serving.
Sure.
But, and this is a proposal that I think the Chargers came with 2-3 years ago, and it didn't get much support. As other teams get affected by it year in, year out, you'll start to get more support for rules such as this. And you don't want to completely devalue a division title. You still get an automatic bid to the postseason by winning your division. But like you said, it doesn't guarantee that you get a home game. So they're going to devalue it a little bit. You still get to be in the dance.
Yeah.
But you just don't get to host the dance, which should be the way it is.
That makes sense to me. And we've even had that debate in college football a little bit now, too, with the expanded playoff is, okay, you win the Big 12. I get it. You deserve a seat at the table. You win the ACC or you win the Mountain West. Fine. You're going to get a seat at the table.
But you don't get a bye.
But yeah, you shouldn't be guaranteed anything. We're still going to seed you 1-12, yeah, or in the case of the NFL, 1-7 in the AFC, 1-7 in the NFC. And it's easy because we're just going to go by wins and losses. That would make the most sense to me.
Yep. Resume. And it's not going to be, we played this division and we have this win, this loss. That's not it. It is simply, what is your overall record? And we'll seed accordingly. So, and I think the other way that it helps is this year you have Detroit playing a first place schedule. And if they end up not winning the division, because it's going to be a tough division, whether or not Aaron Rodgers is with the Vikings and whether or not Jordan Love takes steps forward or Caleb Williams, it's still going to be a very tough division. But then you get to the postseason, and if you are a 10-7 team, but you played in a really tough division, now you might not be able to host a home game, which if you don't win the division, you're not going to anyway. Now all of a sudden you get to play somebody commensurate with your record in the postseason. And now all of a sudden maybe you're playing a lesser opponent because they had a weaker schedule, but they have the same record you do. Now all of a sudden it works itself out in the end.
So effectively what this would be doing is avoiding what happened last year in the final week of the season. The Lions and the Vikings were chasing a 15-win season. And the loser was going to be the 5 seed.
Right.
Which
you go
felt
from 1
silly,
to 5.
Which
yes.
felt silly, right? The 1 seed is enough of a perk to play for because of the bye week, but you shouldn't tumble all the way down to 5th. And for Minnesota's case, look, they weren't good enough anyway, but they deserved, based on their regular season, to be higher than the 5th seed.
They deserved hosting a game.
Yeah.
Instead of going on the road.
And that's effectively what this proposal from the Lions would do. The other major proposal that they threw out there was they want to change holding penalties, right? Mm-hmm. Defensive holding penalties.
Illegal contact
yes.
and defensive holding. And the submission is it would not be an automatic first down. Now, if it happens where it's going to be a 5-yard penalty or a spot foul and it creates a first down, then it's a first down. But it's not an automatic first down. If it's 3rd and 8 and it happens, 3 yards down the field, defensive holding, you get 5 yards. Now it's 3rd and 3. You replay the down, but it's 3rd and 3. You don't get that automatic first down. I don't know that this. I think as unlikely as I think the playoff seeding passes this year.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
I don't think this one does either, because why would we want to give the defense any type of advantage? We already know you can't touch the quarterback. You can't touch these receivers. And if you do, we need to make sure that the offense gets a first down.
So again, self-serving. The Lions play a lot of man coverage, press man. They play physical. Terrion Arnold and DJ Reed were the most penalized DBs in the league last year. It's self-serving.
But it's never been harder to play defense in the NFL than it is right now because of the rules that benefit the offense.
Yeah, and it is annoying on 3rd and 18 when you are playing physical with a guy 5 yards deep and it's an automatic first down. Mm-hmm. Like, that is silly, right? We could acknowledge that. I think the reason this won't pass, though, is because teams will be afraid of it being abused. Like, now corners can basically jump you on every 3rd down and
you'd actually have to be able to get off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah. You would, but I think that's why it won't pass.
It's because it would limit offense.
Sure.
And I don't think the NFL right now is in the mode of, we don't want to limit offense. We want to have as many points as possible. We want to have first downs. We want to give these quarterbacks every advantage possible. And defense, buck up, little fella.
Couple ticket texts on these ideas. Hate the playoff idea. Texter says that's essentially getting rid of conferences. I think they might mean divisions. Either way, they're still going to have divisions.
Yeah.
And a texter says with that format, you can be blocked out of the playoffs as a division winner.
No, you can't. You still get an automatic bid. You're just not guaranteed to host a game.
Yeah. If you win the NFC South, for example, which has been a down division,
right,
and you do it at 8-8-1, yeah, you might be the 7th team. You'd be in the playoffs, but you're not going to get a 4th seed home playoff game. You're in the playoffs, but you're not guaranteed to be seeded right any higher than your record suggests. So I like it. You guys can fill in with your thoughts. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.